I call the Economic Development, Finance, and Policy Committee to order. First up, can I get a motion to approve the minutes from April 3rd, 2024?
So move.
Thank you, Representative Chair Zhang. Chair Zhang moves approval of the minutes for April 3rd, 2024. Any additions or corrections from anybody? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And the motion prevails and the minutes are approved. First bill on the calendar today is House File 3449 from the wonderful Chair Hassan. Chair Hassan moves that House File 3449 be referred to Ways and Means Committee. Rep. Hassan, it sounds like you have a DE2 author's amendment too. Is that correct?
Yes.
The DE2 author's amendment is before us. Would you like to give us a brief walkthrough of the DE2 language and spreadsheet with the nonpartisan staff, please?
Chair and members, for the tape, Ken Savory, nonpartisan fiscal analyst. I'll be taking you through the spreadsheet included in your packets today. You'll see a timestamp on the upper right-hand side of 2:39 p.m., 4:13. And then we'll be speaking today directly from columns P, Q, R, S, T, and U. Those are the changes in the DE amendments before the committee. There's a number of changes to the Department of Employment and Economic Development. We'll start on line 8. This is the cancellation of $5 million to the Bloomington Expo appropriation that was in the previous omnibus jobs bill. It shows up as negative $5 million in FY24. Line 9 is an elimination of the Asian Economic Development Association appropriation in the previous finance bill. And then line 10 is the same appropriation, reappropriated the same amount for $500,000, but with extended availability for that proposal. Line 11 is an appropriation for to propel nonprofits of $497,000 in FY25. Line 12 is an appropriation of $800,000 for the New American Development Center of $800,000. Line 13 is an appropriation for the Entrepreneur Fund of $1 million in FY25. Line 14 is an appropriation of the Coalition of Asian American Leaders of $1 million in FY25. Line 15 is an appropriation of $500,000 to the Arrowhead Economic Opportunity Agency. Line 16 and 17 are items that the committee has seen before, contained in the original bill. It essentially eliminates the Launch Minnesota program in FY25, but then reappropriates it in FY25 on line 17 for extended availability. Line 18 is a reduction and moving of items between the Minnesota Film and TV Board and the Production Jobs Credit Program between Indeed and Explore Minnesota Tourism. We'll see those lines a little bit farther down. But indeed, it shows up on line 18, the Minnesota Film and TV Board appropriation being eliminated, and that is a cost of negative $325,000 in FY25, and that carries forward each year into the tails. Line 19 is a similar item related to the Minnesota Film and TV Board, the Production Job Credit Program, and that's negative $500,000 in FY25, 26, 27. Moving on to items related to Explore Minnesota Tourism. Line 25 is an appropriation for the Explore Minnesota Film Office. That's $725,000 in FY25, and then $525,000 in FY26 and 27. Line 26 is a reappropriation of the Film Production Jobs Program, Explore Minnesota. That is $300,000 in FY25, and then $300,000 in each fiscal year thereafter. Line 27 is an appropriation to Kajug, which is $400,000 in FY25, one time. And then line 28 is an appropriation to the Minnesota Sports and Events for the World Junior Hockey Championships of $1 million, one time in FY25. Line 29 is an appropriation to the Special Olympic Games and be hosted in 2026, that appropriation is in FY25. And then line 30 is a reduction or elimination of the Ashara Cultural Celebration Grant in the previous finance bill in FY24, so that's negative $400,000. In terms of general fund summary, you'll see totals for the two agencies on line 34 and 35, all the reductions netting out. And line 38 is the total cost of the bill to the general fund, which is $997,000. Speaking directly to column R, is the combination of FY 24 and 25. As a reminder, the committee's target was $1 million, and $3,000 remains unallocated.
Thank you so much for that. Next, I'm sorry. We have more nonpartisan staff to go over the rest of the bill. I'm still kind of new here. I appreciate your patience. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Madam Chair, members. I'm going to limit my comments to Article 1, the appropriations article, to note that on page 21, line 34, the A3 modifies allowable uses of a 2023 appropriation for the city of South St. Paul to allow them to use the appropriation for repurposing the 1927 American Legion Library to allow it to study options for repurposing the library. And then moving to Article 2, Section 1 modifies the Innovative Business Development Public Infrastructure Grant Program so that its grants don't need to be competitive. It sets the maximum amount for a grant at 50% of the cost of the infrastructure. It removes a provision allowing the Commissioner of Employment and Economic Development to waive eligibility requirements under certain circumstances. And Section 2 modifies standards for applying to the same program and requires an applicant to submit a resolution finding that it met the new standards. Section 3 adds to the Energy Transition Advisory Committee a representative of a school district facing revenue loss due to energy transition. Section 4 modifies the definition of partner organization for the purposes of the Small Business Assistance Partnerships Program to include tribal economic development entities. Section 5 allows up to 15% of the amount of a grant through the same program to be used on administrative costs. Section 6 modifies the Minnesota Expanding Opportunity Fund Program to allow funding for tribal economic development entities and community development financial institutions. It allows for fee-based loans, and it sets the interest rates for loans under the program to 10%. It also allows lenders to using the program to keep an amount equal to 1% of each loan for administrative costs. Section 7 modifies the Minnesota Emerging Entrepreneur Program to allow funding for tribal economic development entities and community development financial institutions. It requires that the program be open to new applicants for every two years. It exempts preferred partners from requirements to get approval from the Commissioner of Deed to issue a loan, and requires decisions on loans from other partners within 20 days. It has a minimum two-year period to receive 10% loan forgiveness and requires Deed to develop criteria for borrowers seeking loan forgiveness. It also modifies the maximum amount of micro enterprise loans and allows lenders under the program to keep an amount equal to 1% of each loan for administrative costs. Sections 8 through 12 all establish the Explore Minnesota Film Office within Explore Minnesota. Section 8 establishes the office. Section 9 transfers responsibility for administering the Film Production Jobs Program to the new office. And sections 10 through 12 all modify the film production credit to transfer responsibility for administering the program from the film board to Explore Minnesota Film. Section 10 also includes a change that would exempt commercials funded by the credit from a requirement that they have to display a logo promoting with Minnesota within the end credits. Section 13 increases the maximum grant amount per project for the Water Infrastructure Program with the Public Facilities Authority from $5 million to $10 million. Section 14 increases the maximum grant amount for the Point Source Implementation Grant Program with the Public Facilities Authority from $7 million to $12 million. Section 15 modifies an appropriation from 2023 to allow Northland Foundation to use up to 5% of the appropriation for administrative costs. Section 16 modifies the Community Wealth Building Grant Pilot Program to allow forgiveness of loans to community business, and it allows for fee-based loans. Section 17 extends reporting deadlines for the Community Wealth Building Grant Pilot Program. Section 18 would provide special legislative authority to the City of Brooklyn Park in connection with the establishment of a development plan for a biotech innovation district. And Section 19 repeals a subdivision providing for how to prioritize applications for the Innovative Business Development Public Infrastructure Grant Program. And I'm sure that concludes the walkthrough.
Thank you so much to our nonpartisan staff, Ken and Justin. I appreciate that, and thanks for the flexibility there. Representative Hassan, do you have any comments, or would you like us to move to public testimony?
Let's move to public testimony.
Okay, thank you. So we will hear from our next testifiers. First up, we have Commissioner Verilek from DEED. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Chair Hansen, members, my name is Matt Verilek. I serve as Commissioner of the Department of Employment and Economic Development and would love to provide some comments on the omnibus that you are considering, House File 3449. I wanted to say the bill contains investments in multiple programs and endorses policy changes that will empower the agency to continue our mission of empowering the growth of the Minnesota economy for everyone. I wanted to thank you and the entire committee for your partnership on this legislation. And if I may also take a moment of privilege to appreciate Chair Hassan for your work on this, everything in the committee, and everything over the course of the time that we've known each other, which predates my arrival as commissioner. Grateful for your service. Wanted to share support and gratitude for the four policy changes recommended by the agency, which will enhance the flexibility and effectiveness of our existing programs. These include extending the appropriation for Launch Minnesota until June 30th, 2027, to allow our Office of Small Business and Innovation to fully utilize the appropriation to support a thriving small business ecosystem in Minnesota. Refinements to IBDPI, making the program more responsive and providing clarity for applicants, innovative business development, public infrastructure. Expanding membership of the Energy Transition Advisory Council to more comprehensively represent communities impacted by changes in power generation. Allowing the Northland Foundation to access administrative funding for a program that's unique to their geography. And while we are supportive of this legislation, want to share a couple concerns as well regarding proposed changes to the Minnesota Expanding Opportunity Fund and the Minnesota Emerging Entrepreneur Program. We believe that the current structure for the Emerging Entrepreneur Fund, which opens the application process for the program every 5 years, balances the opportunity for new community lenders to participate with program stability and administrative efficiency. I should add, too, that what I'm sharing here is also in a letter to the committee, which maybe you already have, but just touching on some highlights of that. Mandating that DEED change the cycle from its current timeline of every 5 years to 2 years would present some problems for the agency and organizations enrolled in the program. First, it would trigger cancellation of existing contracts with the community loan providers and create new contracts that accord with the new 2-year timeline, presenting an administrative burden for staff at the community loan providers, as well as DEED staff. And I would note that I used to be at one of those community loan providers. And then DEED staff would need to be conducting vetting and oversight on lenders that would only have a limited amount of time to participate before then having to reapply. Lastly, I would like to flag concerns about changes to the expanding opportunity in emerging entrepreneur funds that require DEED to provide a fee equal to 1% of every loan made under these programs. This would represent a transfer of funds from the small businesses that would be receiving these loans to the lenders, and these funds would come on top of interest payments or loan fees paid by the borrower to the lender. Our concern is that this change is out of line with the intent of these two important programs and would put additional strain on already limited lending resources. And in articulating these concerns, I want to emphasize that the Metropolitan Consortium of Community Developers has been an incredible partner in administering these programs for multiple years and in collaborating on the policy change contained in the bill. And I want to acknowledge the amount of work that went into crafting those reforms proposed by their work group, and that the intent of the change is to enhance the programs, but we remain in conversation with MCCD and are hopeful that we will find resolutions to these differences. And so with that, I would again thank the chair and all members for your longstanding partnership and support, and would be happy to answer any questions or engage my teammates who are with me as well.
Thank you, Commissioner Verilek. Next up, we have Carrie Johnson with MCCD. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Uh, Good morning, Chair Hansen, members of the committee. My name is Carrie Johnson. I'm the Director of State Policy and Field Building at MCCD. I am here today in support of House File 3449 as amended, and I want to genuinely thank Chair Hassan for and the committee for all of their support on these policy changes and the work that has been done. The policy changes that were in originally House File 3847 will help transform the financial offerings available for nonprofit economic development organizations to deploy to entrepreneurs across the state. We are particularly excited about expanding current state-funded loan funds to include fee-based lending. This change alone will help entrepreneurs that require an alternative financing model due to their faith or beliefs. Because these lending sources do not require interest to be exchanged from partner organizations, they are more compatible with Islamic finance principles, while also aligning with similar models used by faith traditions that emphasize ethical and socially responsible finance. Additionally, these changes will help streamline the underwriting process for the Emerging Entrepreneur Loan Program by removing duplicative underwriting for certain partner organizations. Plus, they will incorporate automatic loan forgiveness for borrowers in good standing for two of the loan programs. Ultimately, we hope that these policy changes will ensure that organizations around the state deploying these resources can better support the small businesses they work with, and that those small businesses receive similar support or loan offerings no matter which deed partner they connect with. I also want to acknowledge Commissioner Varelek's comments, and we look forward to working with DEED as well as the committee and Chair Hassan on finding a resolution to some of the differences that we have. Thank you again for including these items in your bill.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Now we'll move on to amendments to the amendments. We'll start with Representative Hassan and the A3 amendment to the amendment. Rep. Hassan, would you like to move and describe that amendment, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. The A3 amendment is an author's amendment. It inserts language from a previously accepted amendment earlier in session regarding the South St. Paul Library appropriation from 2023. It reduces the appropriation for Cal and inserts a language from House File 2870, which we heard, I think last year, Fortis capital appropriation for $300,000, and then it inserts the sunset for Launch Minnesota, which will sunset June 30th, 2027, when all the current appropriations will expire, and then it's a cleanup language for technical change to the Economic Development Program.
Thank you, Chair Hassan. Any discussion to the A3 amendment to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of adopting the amendment to the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Next, we have an A2 amendment from Representative Koznick. Representative Koznick, would you like to move and describe your A2 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. The A2 amendment is a small amendment that just provides some planning and programming to Southern Valley Alliance. It's a domestic abuse service center in Scott and Carver County, and they help provide victims of domestic abuse get resources and both safety and security, but also to continue to remain employed and provide economic activity.
Thank you for that, Representative Koznick. Any discussion to the A2 amendment? Chair Hassan, would you have any comments on?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Lead Koznick, for this amendment. I believe this puts us over with the budget that we have. I think our balance is only $3,000. While I want to note that this organization is a valid organization that does good work, and I want to work with you and figure out how we can make this work, but this $15,000 puts us over budget with our targets. So I'm open to conversations before the bill shows up in Ways and Means or on the floor.
Thank you, Chair Hassan. Representative Koznick.
Out of respect and deference to the chair, I can withdraw the amendment. I thought that we balanced it out on line 1.3 to be in balance, but is that not? If we could give fiscal staff on that.
Thank you.
It is a small amount, but I do want to work with the chair. And,
Thank you, Representative Koznick. We'll see if our nonpartisan staff has a comment. Let them discuss for a moment.
Chair and members, the amendment as drafted on line 1.1, on line 1.3 is the total for the appropriations. So this would put the total amount of the bill above the $1 million target.
Lead Koznick.
Thank you. Why don't we withdraw the amendment? We'll see how we can work with it. It is a small request, but do want to stay in balance.
Thank you, Lead Koznick. The A2 amendment has been withdrawn. Representative Feist, did you have a comment?
Yes, I just wanted to also say that Southern Valley Alliance is an amazing organization. I had the opportunity to tour them in February. So if this does work out, I think that'd be great. They're a great organization.
Thank you, Representative Feist. Now we have the DE2 amendment before us as amended. Any further discussion to the DE2 amendment as amended? Seeing none, all those in favor of adopting the DE2 amendment as amended, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Now House File 3449 as amended is before the committee. Representative Hassan, do you have any comments? Otherwise, we will go to member discussion.
I want to keep my, I'll save my comments after further, after member discussion and use it as my closing remarks.
Thank you, Chair. Any discussion to House 3449 as amended? Representative Patiza Wichin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to Chair Hassan, it has been a privilege to serve on this committee and to serve with you for three terms so far and your three terms here at the legislature. I don't think that we could have had a better person at the helm of the Economic Development Committee, particularly the unrest that your district faced, and you have been a champion for your people and for the citizens all across the state of Minnesota. And I just want to thank you for your time and effort and your patience and understanding. And it's been an honor. So I thank you. I know how much work you have put in and how much time putting together a bill like this takes year after year. And I really appreciate it. I think that we've put together a terrific package to support folks all across the state.
Thank you, Representative Patiza Watoon. Representative Feist.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to echo Representative Patiza Watoon to thank you so much for leading this committee. When I first signed up to be on this committee, I was like, that works with my schedule. That sounds good. But like most of my committees are like lawyer committees. But this has been inspiring in a way I didn't expect it to be. And I'm just really grateful that we've been so focused on investing in communities that have often been overlooked. So thank you so much for your leadership.
Thank you, Representative Feist. Representative Igo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm just going to kind of echo some of my colleagues. I want to thank you, Chair Hassan, for, you know, leading this committee. You've been a great one to work with and listen to multiple issues across the state. So I really want to thank you for that. Thank you to all of our staff that have also done a lot of great work, both sides of the aisle. It's been a very good committee we've had to work with. When it comes to the bill before us today, I want to appreciate some of the appropriations in there are scattered across the state and took a lot of consideration into that. I don't know if I'll be able to support the full language, but I do appreciate the fact that we looked at many issues and talked about many things. So thank you to the whole committee for the work we did.
Thank you, Representative Igo. Representative Kozlowski.
Thank you, Chair Hansen and Chair Hassan. I also am going to jump in and just love up on you and for your leadership that as a first termer coming in, I knew I wanted to be on this committee as somebody with an MBA in really taking that holistic approach and being able to work under your leadership and your tenure has been something that has really been instrumental. And we came into this committee doing the land and the labor acknowledgement, and I really believe that in last year's bill and with this bill that we're bringing forward, we're really living through those values and braiding our communities together, whether it's here in the Twin Cities or out in the metro with the water infrastructure and the film and supporting our entrepreneurs and workforce and childcare, just so many issues that we know are so interconnected. And I just want to say that nobody will be able to replace your shoes, but we're just going to continue to carry on in your legacy, and that's how we're going to do right by you. And as Ojibwe people, we say Mindamuyen or Ogima Kwe is like that warrior woman, that one that holds all things together. I'm going to really stands in the gap, and so thank you, and we're going to continue to do that, to connect the dot and make sure that Minnesota is really the best place to raise our kids and work and live and play and make sure that it means that it's for all of our communities. So thank you.
Representative Ryer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Chair Hassan. You all know I only spent 1 year on this committee and really appreciated the opportunity to join it. And I want to thank you for the work you've done, whether, you know, before I was on the committee and then working with your leadership. You've done so much for our state, and I just wanted to thank you.
Any others? Would you like to go last, Representative?
Sure.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair. And once again, thank you to Chair Hassan. What members have said on both sides of the aisle here, I just want to echo again and just add to that chorus. As a new member who came in and had a lot of questions and, you know, you're always learning at this job, especially when you're new at this job, you're learning quite a bit. And you have been so welcoming, and whether it's on the floor, whether it's here, whether it's in the halls of this building, and it has been a wonderful pleasure to serve with you. We're sad to see you go, but wish you the best wherever that may be. And truly, thank you so much for what you have taught me personally, and I think us as a committee as a whole.
Representative Kosick.
Thank you, and Madam Chair, I can't outdo your colleagues, their sentiments, but it's been a pleasure to work with you and be the lead, and you have been a good chair. Be proud of the work that you've done and the representation that you've done for your community, and we wish you the best. But this isn't the last stop anyway, so we'll say more on the floor. Thanks.
Chair Zhang.
Oh, I'll just keep it short. I'm going to miss you.
Thank you for that. Representative Hassan, any further comments on your bill?
All right, y'all are going to make me cry here. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for, you know, being part of this great committee and your contributions. We, you know, sometimes disagree, but we have respectfully disagreed with each other, and I will say this has been, you know, as a first-time chair, I was very nervous, but it has been, you know, an eye-opening for me to learn from people who have different perspectives than I do, who come from different communities. I come from an urban community that has been through a lot. I was trying to explain to somebody why I'm leaving the legislature, and I told them, I was like, I got elected in 2019. In 2020, COVID hit. In, you know, right after COVID, George Floyd was killed in my district. The civil unrest happened. All the businesses in my district were destroyed. I don't even know how I made it.
Yeah.
And that is the reality of the district that I represent. But I represent that district with honor. And those scars, I wear them as a badge of honor, because I was elected into this office because people saw something in me. They saw that I could be a voice. They saw that I could carry their message to the legislator. So I want to thank all of you for being part of this journey, for educating me, for uplifting me, inspiring me, empowering me. And sometimes keeping me in line, because I could be sometimes set on my own way, as we are all. We started this committee last year with land and labor acknowledgement, and the reason we did that was to remind us that even though, you know, we have skeletons in our closet from the past, that the past is still haunting us, that the reason why we have inequities today is because somebody was intentional about creating barriers. Somebody was intentional about creating inclusive process for some groups and exclusive process for others. That's why we have the disparities we have. Minnesota today leads the nation in you know, the highest income earners, household income earners, and then still leads the nation in disparities, racial and ethnic disparities. And we have to be intentional about doing this work. We have to use radical accessibility, whether we look at, you know, disability, whether we look at race, whether we look at, you know, gender, whether we look at, you know, poverty. Poverty is, you know, a real problem in this state across, you know, whether it's urban or rural or suburbia. I have served 6 years in housing, and I was intentional about serving in housing 6 years, the whole 6 years I've been here, because my district has encampments all over. And I used to volunteer in some of the homeless shelters, and I take the time to talk to people, and I will ask them, where are you from? Some of them will tell me places that I don't even know. And I'm like, why are you down here? Because there are no services in my district. There are no services in the county that I you know, my family lives. So the best option is for me to come down here. So I really, why am I sharing that? I really want to, you know, ground us in the idea that disparities exist, whether you're from Edina, you know, Minneapolis, or Rep. Iga, where are you from? Hibbing, Minnesota. I should know that. But I'm sharing this with you because it's a reality of in our communities that, you know, while there is like some progress in Minnesota, that we are leading the nation in some ways, we also have some real inequities. The bill before us today touches on, you know, everywhere in the greater of Minnesota. We are serving people everywhere because I truly believe in inclusive process, an inclusive society, and I believe that Minnesota can lead the nation in progress. You know, if I don't tell you some inequities and some problems and numbers, and that won't be true to myself. So I'm going to share. I'm going to ground us in some data that I ran across the other day. In Minnesota, business ownership among Native American, Black, and Brown people are increasing at a rapid pace. But by building wealth through entrepreneurship, the state's racially and ethnic diverse entrepreneurs could potentially reduce racial and ethnic gaps in income and wealth. However, Native Americans, Black, and Brown people are still underserved among business owners relative to their share of the state's adult population. With redlining, biased lending practices, and many more barriers, we still have too many hoops for our businesses, small businesses, to jump through. I can say that the work that we did last year make a dent on those inequities, but we still have a lot of work to do. We have to be intentional about our work, and we have to use radical accessibility to remove all barriers for our small businesses, especially small businesses from Black and Brown and Indigenous people. We will also need to continue to look at the trends in data. I love data. And what I love about data is that data tells a story if you're watching and paying attention. We have to do better as Minnesotans, and we have to tell our people, our communities across the state, that we should do better. I want to thank each and every one of you. I want to thank our nonpartisan staff. And I'm going to forget names if I don't look at my... I want to thank, Dave Sullivan, our DFL researcher. Thank you for all your work and all your input and your guidance, because you've been doing this work for so long. I want to thank our GOP researchers. I know Ryan on Wiskirchen is not with us anymore, but Justin Brill is with us. Thank you for all your work. Thank you to Justin Cope, Anna Shaleen from House Research, and then Kent Savory from House Fiscal Staff. Thank you for all your work. You guys make us look better than we are. Thank you, Elijah, for putting up with me. Thank you for it's not easy to put up with me. Thank you for, reminding me things, keeping me in line, and thank you to our great and amazing committee administrator. And sorry if I text you late at night sometimes. I just ask you something that I just remembered, and I don't want to forget. And thank you, our page, Natalie Wafra, for all the work that you have done. I don't know where our page is. Thank you to Minnesotans across the state who came and reminded us about their priorities, about their communities. There is one young woman I remember, Abigail, who came to us, and I think she captured all of our heart when she was talking about the importance of Special Olympics. And that's why we're funding Special Olympics from this. I wish we had more money, right? But we are funding it. I want to tell Abigail, if she ever sees this tape, that we did hear you, we did see you, and we are funding Special Olympics. This is a great bill, you guys, and I think our staff did a great job of walking through the bill. It's a bill that funds all parts of the state, and it's a bill that touches on some of our priorities. So thank you. This might be the last time that I'm going to, sit here as a chair. So thank you. And if there is ever a time that, you thought I was the mean teacher, I apologize. But thank you for all your work. This is a great bill. Please support.
Thank you, Chair Hassan. And thank you to all the committee members and to all of the staff. I'm just going to take a bit of chair privilege right now to really acknowledge how lucky and blessed the state of Minnesota is to have had your leadership and to get the opportunity to have learned from you. I don't know how you managed to mentor so many people in your time here or inspire so many people. But you really led us to a fight, to learn how to fight for a world where too many people have been left out. And modeling how to lead an inclusive fight for equity in this state is exactly what we needed. And we have you to thank for that. And I'm really grateful for you. I know that combating these disparities is going to be the key to creating the brighter future that you've inspired and the vision that you've left us with. And so we really thank you for that. And I know I will never be the same without your mentorship. And so thank you. I appreciate that a lot. I know I'm going to miss you a whole lot. So with that, Rep. Chair Hassan renews her motion that House File 3449 as amended be re-referred to Ways and Means. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
And with that, the bill is on its way. The motion prevails. Any final comments from the wonderful Chair Hassan today?
Nope. Thank you. Thank you for all your work, and thank you for the wonderful words that everybody shared.
Yeah. Thank you. And with no further business on the agenda, we are adjourned.